White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
So, welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Another two-hour Saturday afternoon edition of our little get-together, you and me and the Chicago White Sox, all of us going to talk a little baseball this afternoon. This is kind of a cool show, a cool day, really, to do a show. I've been looking forward to this one, actually, since the beginning of the year, since Sox Fest, to be honest with you. I'll tell you why it's this one after I tell you how you can get involved with the show and exactly what we're up to this afternoon. Of course, and as always, you can get in touch with the show. We're going to do the mailbag segment a little later on in the show, and you've been leaving messages there at C1 McKnight. That's the Twitter handle. C1 McKnight, McKnight. That's our Twitter handle, and you've been popping in a couple of things over the course of the last few weeks. Not all the questions have been about Ronaldo Lopez and when he's going to make his first start for the White Sox. Not every single one of them. Most, but not every single one of them. And we'll get to a lot of those. In fact, we've got some news a little bit later on, probably right after our first break. We'll let you know what's up with Ronaldo Lopez. Perhaps what's up with Ronaldo Lopez down there in Charlotte. We will also have a conversation with White Sox assistant general manager Jeremy Haber. Jeremy and I spoke yesterday, so just prior to, and this is important because there's a little piece in the conversation, we'll break through some of the radio magic here. A little piece in the conversation where we talk about Carlos Rodon, and I imagine Jeremy might have said a few, might have expanded a little bit more after Rodon's last outing last night against the Boston Red Sox. Boy, was he fantastic. He now, Rodon, in his last three starts, has struck out 31 and walked only 5. Granted, that comes with one really bizarre kind of start against the Cubs, where he went 4 innings and struck out 11. 11 of the 12 out, 4 times 3, 12. 11 of the 12 outs, he got all via strikeout. He was all over the place, though, and kind of weird. And since then has really chained things back to the strike zone. Anyway, we'll talk a bit about Rodon on the show this afternoon, of course, and we'll talk a bit about him with Jeremy Haber, the White Sox assistant general manager. We're going to have that conversation right after the 4 o'clock news. So you're going to want to make sure you stay tuned for that. Right after the 4 o'clock news, we'll talk to White Sox assistant general manager Jeremy Haber. You can lob us a phone call if you're so inclined, 312-591-8900. That's the phone number this afternoon. And really, we're kind of going to go all over the place with this show, looking back through the month that was for the White Sox for obvious reasons. But you're welcome to chime in with whatever you'd like throughout the course of the afternoon, 312-591-8900. We may get a phone call as well a little bit later on from Boston. I'll get you up to date on what's going on out there. We may hear from Ricky Renteria. It all kind of depends on when he has his conversation and chat with the White Sox beat reporters there in Boston. So let's start with this. A couple of pieces of news before we get into the meat of today's show. It sounds as though Avi Garcia has taken some more BP, and things are starting to feel a little bit better. We saw a couple of pictures, you know, the slightly fuzzy cell phone pictures from assorted White Sox beat reporters high above the field at Fenway. Avi Garcia was ostensibly the man underneath the batting cage and taking a little BP. Things felt all right for Avi. I don't know that necessarily perfect was something that he was feeling, but feels pretty good after taking BP yesterday. He'll take BP again today, and both he and Ricky Renteria are both hoping that he doesn't need rehab games down in the minor leagues. That would be kind of an interesting thing. He'll probably take the full 10 to get back into to get back off of the disabled list. So it would be a good long stretch for Avi without playing and facing major league pitching or live pitching for that matter. But the thought is, or the hope is, rather, from both he and Ricky Renteria, and we'll just have to wait and see. There's really no other way around it. We just kind of have to wait and see what's up with Avi when he's feeling healthy and swinging it the way he'd like to. Also, a little piece of news. I suppose we'll break this out right off the top. What's going on in Boston right now is the Saber Seminar, right? It's a Sabermetrics Seminar. All of the nerds of baseball get together into the nerdery and talk about our nerd. I wish I was there. I really do. Now, the Sabre seminar, I joke about the nerd thing. It's kind of how baseball is run now. And I know a lot of White Sox fans, a lot of baseball fans in general are hip to that. But for this, at this seminar, Rick Hahn is one of the, I guess, invited guest speakers. It would be how it works. In fact, White Sox broadcaster Jason Benetti is there in Boston and moderating the whole thing, emceeing the whole thing. I don't know if moderating's exactly what he's up to, but either way, he's there kind of being the face of that whole seminar. And in taking some questions from fans there at Sabre Seminar, Rick Hahn was asked when Ronaldo Lopez, I feel like we're just looking through the White Sox Weekly mailbag, when will Ronaldo Lopez make his major league debut? Well, Rick kind of teased a little bit. You know how Rick Hahn can and do this every once in a while. He said, maybe buy tickets for Friday, is what he said. All right, so let's go through the calendar, shall we? Make sure we know exactly what's going on Friday for the White Sox. Well, if you look through, the White Sox have a tough go here. In fact, it's been kind of a tough couple of weeks, both results-wise and opponent-wise. After playing the Dodgers for two, who are, you know, the Dodgers, the White Sox got the Kansas City Royals and were swept by KC. KC is on charge. Played the Cubs, who are a darn good baseball team. The Indians, who played the Cubs in the World Series last year and are themselves a darn good baseball team. Three against the Toronto Blue Jays, who, you know, probably could have played a little cleaner baseball throughout for the White Sox in that last series at home. Now the Boston Red Sox. Look at the Houston Astros, who are out front in the AL West by 78 games. It's not 78, but it feels like that. Then it's the Kansas City Royals again. So what it looks like is that maybe Friday you might see Ronaldo Lopez called up into the White Sox rotation. At least that's what Rick Hahn seems to have teased. He was asked about when those prospects might call up. He said maybe buy tickets for Friday night. Said, of course, opponents factor in. Fenway, obviously a tough place to pitch, especially for a right-hander. Not to mention that Boston lineup is kind of it's kind of tough. Astros, the same thing. So perhaps Kansas City on Friday, we'll just have to wait and see. But we wouldn't be doing our job here on White Sox Weekly if we didn't bring you every little piece of salacious rumor and news, especially when general manager of the ball club is making it. So I don't know. I guess we're all a little geeked up for Friday against the Royals. We'll have to wait and see. Of course, we'll let you know. Follow us on Twitter, WLSAM890, or C1 McKnight. We'll of course, bring you the very latest with your Chicago White Sox. Speaking of stuff you can get out to the park for, you can head to the park for Dollar Hot Dogs every Wednesday home game through the rest of the season. Take advantage of this unbeatable deal August 9th, as the Sox take on the Houston Astros at 7:10 p.m. Purchase tickets today by visiting whitesox.com or by calling 866-SOX-GAME. So there you go. You could make yourself a Wednesday and Friday week of it. Head out to the ballpark. Gorge yourself on dollar hot dogs because you deserve it. And then Friday, turn it around, and maybe you catch the major league debut of one Ronaldo Lopez. We don't know. We'll just have to see. I would imagine that when White Sox beat reporters talk to Ricky Renteria in about, 4:45 there? Yeah, probably about 45 minutes or so, give or take. I would imagine that those are some of the questions posed to Ricky, especially since the general manager has made news. What we're going to do for the bulk of the show, after we have a conversation with White Sox assistant general manager Jeremy Haber at 4:05, what we're going to do after that is take a look back at the last month the White Sox have gone through. And I don't, listen, July of 2017 will be forever a franchise-altering month for the Chicago White Sox. There's no other way to look around it. July 13th, they traded Jose Quintana to the Cubs. July 19th, Frazier, Canely, and David Robertson to the Yankees. July 26th, and then July 27th, Anthony Swarzak, then Dan Jennings are traded to the Milwaukee Brewers and Tampa Bay Rays, respectively. Melky Cabrera on July 30th, day before the deadline, goes to the Kansas City Royals. And in many ways, and for many reasons, and through many players, that's going to define the next potentially 10 years of White Sox baseball. We wouldn't be doing the whole thing justice if we didn't take a look back and go through it. Maybe you were vacationing, maybe you were in and out of the whole thing. And quite frankly, looking back through it, let's remember who got traded for what and which players came back. So what I did is make sure that we had, and it's mostly Rick Hahn talking throughout the last month, about specifically the prospects that came back. You know, we talked about the circumstances of the deals and how the Cubs deal came together so quickly over the All-Star break, and how that Yankees thing had been going on for quite some time, and the conversations were kind of lengthy, I guess. And as soon as, but when the idea of packaging all three of those players together came around, you started getting a bigger return in Blake Rutherford. So I want to go through and get you little thumbnails as best we can on the players that came back. And then in our minor league report, our farm report, we're going to look through each one of those prospects and see what they've done since they've come over to the organization. Some have only had like four or five at-bats. Casey Gillespie, who was traded for Dan Jennings, just came off the disabled list. And some aren't quite ready to play yet. Ryan Cordell, who was traded for Dan Jennings, hasn't been on the field yet. Got a little bit of back issues, so we'll have to wait and see for him. But a lot have played, and a lot have played really well, looking at Eloy Jimenez. So we're going to look back and look through that. But when we come back, I want to talk a bit more about Carlos Rodon and a bit about Nicky Delmonico, too, because he's been called up into the mix here and had a couple of nice at-bats, some interesting outfield play, some good, some bad. And I think it speaks to a lot of what the rest of these White Sox rookies, and that's more pejorative than I mean it to be, but guys who aren't on that top 100 list breaking into the big leagues and featuring in this White Sox ball club over the next year or so. 312-591-8900. That's just what I want to talk about. What you want to talk about, you let me know. Give me a ring. We'll make sure we address what you're looking to get talked about here on White Sox Weekly. You can hit us on Twitter, too, at C1McKnight. That is the Twitter handle. A bit about Carlos Rodon, who has been on fire his last three starts. That's next. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890. You can commemorate the Hall of Fame career of White Sox star outfielder Tim Raines by purchasing a limited edition Tim Raines Hall of Fame dual bobblehead. This unique keepsake includes action shots of Tim's likeness as a White Sox and Expos player. Rock bobbleheads are just $40 each and available while supplies last. Visit whitesox.com/rockbobble. That's whitesox.com. That's one of our more fun. That's one of our more fun URLs we get to read in the promos here. whitesox.com/rockbobble to get yours today. Rock bobble also kind of sounds like a minor league outfielder who, you know, makes catches, doesn't quite have the range, but when he gets to it, he makes catches. It's not pretty, but he handles it. He's got a good swings well. It doesn't run all that well, but obviously clearly works. Rock bobble would be a great name for a minor leaguer in the White Sox system. It's not, though. That's the end of the URL that you go to get your commemorative Tim Raines bobblehead. He joined the Hall of Fame this past weekend. Pretty cool to watch. I don't know if you saw some of the enshrinement ceremony for some of those guys that went in. I have a feeling that we'll be talking to Tim Raines sooner rather than later. I know he's got a date to come back through the ballpark and hang out and kind of be honored by the White Sox as he spent a good portion of his career here. Of course, you know, most known as an Expo, probably. I don't think, you know, it won't rankle any feathers to say it. A handful of years here with the White Sox, and they were absolutely spectacular for sure. Want to get into last night's ballgame some before we talk to the assistant general manager, Jeremy Haber, right after the 4 o'clock news. Had a conversation with him yesterday. And I thought last night's ballgame was a pretty fun one to watch. Didn't end up going the way the White Sox wanted it to. Red Sox won it 3-2. Mitch Moreland hit a walk-off shot against Aaron Bummer in the 11th inning. But I thought we saw some fun baseball. It was well-pitched, to be sure. Carlos Rodon probably outclassed Eduardo Rodriguez, though they both ended up giving two earned runs. Carlos went 7 2/3. He struck out 11. He did not walk anyone. And I think, you know, as you look back through last night's game, maybe you missed it, maybe you're out, whatever. I can tell you a couple things about it. The slider, both of them, because Carlos kind of has variations on it. Throws kind of one, that, you know, the back foot, the swing and miss kind of thing, and the other that's a little it's a little wider, a little, you know, kind of more side-to-side break, a little less down on it that he can throw for strikes, I guess, to a certain degree. Both of them were fantastic in doing what he wanted them to do. Fastball was fine. Changeup was okay. Strike zone was somewhat large last night, and I think both he and Eduardo Rodriguez benefited from that some, but it was relatively consistent. And when you see that as a ball player, hitter or a pitcher, you recognize it and you attack it. So I think you can check off a couple of boxes for Carlos in last night's start. To say nothing of the fact that over his last three, I think things have really kind of congealed back together. It wasn't pretty to watch against the Cubs. Striking out three and four innings, all over the place with his pitch count, real up high and not kind of figuring out exactly what he was trying to do, kind of fighting himself, really. And I think when Carlos struggles, it's fighting himself and fighting some of those mechanics. And both he and Don Cooper and Kurt Hassler, the bullpen coach, the two of them work very closely with Coop with Rodon, to make sure that he's remembering his keys and finding out, like, okay, if this pitch starts to go like this, then I'm doing X. You know, it's making sure that those little things, those details are attended to and fixed within starts for Carlos. I think that's where he's at in his development. I think to a certain degree, all pitchers have that. When things start getting a little loose out there, it's up to yourself. You know, you can do as much work as you want in that bullpen session on your side days in between starts in the off season, but if you don't have it between the noggin to essentially fix it yourself out there with a little help from your catcher and going into the dugout in between and looking at some stuff, but you know, pitches happen right then and there on the mound. And I think, you know, to a certain degree, making sure that you're healthy and strong through the rest of the season, whatever it happens to be for Carlos, is, you know, job number one. But fixing up those ends of the game as well, making sure that you're confident, that he's confident in his stuff, in how to attack hitters, that he can attack hitters the way he's looking to do it. I think those are all massive, massive points of his development for what's left of this season. You know, given that it didn't start out healthy for Carlos, and we'll talk a bit about that with Jeremy Haber in a couple of minutes here, given that it didn't start out healthy, you know, what can you accomplish in these last couple of months? And I happen to know that Carlos and the White Sox, specifically Don Cooper and Kurt Hassler, are working to make the absolute most, as they would with just about any player, the absolute most out of what's left in this season. The other start Carlos had in his last three, that of course was against the Indians, 6 2/3, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks there, only 1 earned run. That was a solo shot from Francisco Lindor. That was kind of an interesting game to watch, too, with Carlos, because he struck out Lindor leading off the game on 3 pitches, and Lindor looked like he had never seen a baseball before in his life. He gets the tater in the third. He's Francisco Lindor. He doesn't look all that bad that often. And then he got him on another really good comebacker. Good pitch sequencing that earned Carlos the comebacker on Francisco Lindor. Another well-pitched game. And for Carlos, you know, for the White Sox, really, with what's on this 25-man roster, with how you're going to see this play out for the next, you know, 2 months, August and into September and one day in October, I think, you know, watching Carlos Rodon starts is going to be a blast. Looking to see how well Tim Anderson can get things back on track. And then looking to see what other call-ups might happen. In case you missed it off the top of the show, we mentioned that Rick Hahn out at the Sabre seminar in Boston had teased a little bit that perhaps you might want to head over to your preferred ticket buyer. Maybe you got a guy. You just go to WhiteSox.com, scoop up a couple of tickets for Friday is what he said. Whether it happens, whether it doesn't, whether that's Ronaldo Lopez, whether it's someone, I couldn't tell you. But it has felt for a while now that it's probably time for Ronaldo Lopez to get another challenge, get the next challenge. He's pretty well established down there in AAA and probably ready for some major league bats as his next opponents. Been nice to watch Nicky Delmonico too. Actually, both he and Yoan Moncada last night had some interesting ball games. The strikeouts were there. Delmonico punched out twice, but did have 3 hits, 3 for 5. He had a double, scored 2 runs in that 4th inning, had a single off Craig Kimbrell. Not many people do that, especially this season. In fact, it's very hard to get anything off of Craig Kimbrell, perhaps ever. Yoan Moncada was 2 for 4 with a walk, still being incredibly patient at the plate. And I think to a certain degree, and I know a lot of people have written about this, James Fegan of The Athletic, one of them, Dan Hayes, CSN, has written a lot about it too. And I think the guys at Southside Sox have probably punched up an article or two on this as well. So it's pretty well talked about, and it should be, considering Yoan Moncada is, you know, first of all, baseball's top prospect and the first player to arrive as part of this next chapter of White Sox baseball. He's been incredibly passive at the plate, and I don't mean that. I guess passive kind of connotates a negative vibe, right? Like, oh, he's just kind of laying back and not doing anything. He's taken some called thirds. Some have been in there, some have not. And I think, you know, in so much as he is going to be a swing and miss guy, not just in a strikeout standpoint, but there will be times where in a 1-1 count, he's letting it loose on something he's found, something he looks like he thinks he's going to get. And he has some swing and miss to his game. You're going to see some strikeouts from the young man, just the way that player is. I think all across the league, you're becoming more and more accustomed. We are becoming more and more accustomed to strikeout-type players. It's been going on for a long time. Nothing new there. But I'm a little surprised, and I think a lot of people are, just how comfortable Moncada is taking pitches. I think that can be a good thing. I know Todd Severson talks a lot, White Sox hitting coach, talks a lot about make sure that you go up there with the idea of the idea that you know what your pitch is going to be in this at-bat, what you're looking for from this guy, whether it be a starter, whether it be a reliever, that kind of thing. And then when you get it, be ready for it. Don't miss it. Be, I guess, selectively aggressive in that sense. And maybe there's a bit of, a bit of give and take. Maybe Yoan needs to come back to that approach just a little bit. Being a type of guy who's as comfortable hitting with two strikes or as comfortable seeing as many pitches as he has too will likely pay dividends for him down the future as well. Had two hits last night, 2 for 4 with a walk, one of them off Craig Kimbrell. Be interesting to see what he's up to this evening against the Boston Red Sox too. When we come back, a conversation with White Sox assistant general manager Jeremy Haber. Talk a lot about this organization, what it's been up to the last month or so, and what the future looks like. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
Don't miss a moment of Rush. Noon to 3 weekday afternoons on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and we are joined by the assistant general manager of the White Sox, Jeremy Haber. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Good to be with you, Connor.
Let's start here. Let's go back to this whole trade deadline thing. Kind of a big moment for the White Sox, I think. Maybe an era-defining kind of month or so. If I told you, Jeremy, 12 months ago, let's say I had the Back to the Future DeLorean, I had the almanac and the whole thing, and I told you that you'd make all these trades with the returns you got, how do you think you would have reacted a year ago?
I think, obviously, when we went out and you know, define the strategy that we were going to start with, which entailed taking a step back to take a step forward. You know, there's a bit of faith there that we're going to be able to execute and we're going to be able to find the impact players that we need to build the next championship core. And obviously we're thrilled that we think we have. And not just those elite talent in Moncada and Jimenez and Robert, but the depth pieces that are going to build out not just the 25-man roster, but depth throughout the 40-man. So we're obviously ecstatic at, you know, how the last 12 months have played out, but there's still a whole bunch of development that goes into getting these guys here and contributing at the major league level.
So going back to the phone calls and the moves that got made, did you find as an organization that this market was different, better, worse, or more of a buyer's market or more of a seller's market than you thought it might be maybe when you started the season or even, heck, when June started?
Sure. I think one of the things that you definitely see is the market comes and goes. You know, it's not like there's an even, you know, drumbeat up to the trade deadline. Sometimes teams will be very interested, and then that interest can dissipate. Or you can have a situation like with a Cubs trade where a big deal comes together very quickly. So it's not a constant thing where, you know, you can say this, you know, the market was better in June than it was in December. And that's one of the things that we have to navigate is, you know, how are we doing in terms of when's the right time to sell? Obviously, we were able to get the return for Quintana that we were happy with thrilled with that we couldn't get in December. So in that regard, it was certainly better.
What do you find makes that interest with another team? Because you guys have been on both sides. You guys have picked up players and you guys have sold players. What do you think makes that interest wax and wane the way it does? Are those more internal factors within another team? Maybe a prospect is on the come or something like that? Or is it something else externally?
Sure. It's a number of things. It could be an injury in the major league team. It could be where they're sitting in the standings. It could be, you know, the internal strategy discussions, where they want to go for the off season or at the trade deadline. I think those things come together over the course of weeks as you gear up to the trade deadline, and all of a sudden the team could be more or less interested.
As the White Sox came up to, you know, Sox Fest in January, and now through these trades and through the deadline, there were fans, and we took some calls here on the post-game show and whatnot, who, despite everything that Rick said and that you said and that Kenny had said, weren't sure that this would happen, maybe even to this degree. Does that surprise you at all? Is that just kind of the nature of baseball, people having to, you know, see it before they really believe it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's one of the pastimes of baseball, is getting to complain and chirp about the management of your favorite team. That goes with the territory. And, you know, we obviously are pleased with the way that we've gone and how this rebuild has started, but we haven't proved it yet. And White Sox fans are rightly wanting to see it happen. So we expect that. I think over the next year or so, you're going to start to see the leading edge of the talent that's coming. Obviously, Moncada's up, and people are starting to see what he's capable of, and that's going to continue as new guys come up.
I guess if Dodger fans could hate Branch Rickey back in the day, then anybody's kind of fair target.
No doubt.
Doug, the White Sox assistant general manager, Jeremy Haber here on White Sox Weekly. Jeremy, Rick mentioned you a couple of times this month, crediting you for extensions that you helped get done with Quintana and Eaton, and I think even a little bit on the sales side of things. I'm not sure if you were there yet, but I think he mentioned you in both of those. How much do you think that those contracts, as they were constructed and as they were put on the market with the player, how much do you think those boosted the value for each guy?
I think every team's looking at performance and control and what that combination costs. We've tried to, you know, starting with the sale contracts, and even before that, tried to extend guys at the time because that was in our championship window. We wanted to win with those guys. It was not with any thought that we'd be where we are now. But I think anytime we have the opportunity to work on something like that, where the player gets cost certainty and the team can extend control over the player, it's a win-win situation. And I think other teams saw it similarly.
Is that added value, that kind of control and certainty, can you take that into account as an organization when you're drawing up those papers, when you know that, you know, you're adding like 7 points of resiliency onto this guy or whatever it happens to be? I mean,
sure.
Can you look at it in that sort of macro level or not?
I think with anything, whether it's a free agent contract or a multi-year extension, if you're projecting several years out, you know, modesty is a good place to start in terms of your ability to project the future. It's certainly something we think about, but it's more of a, you know, this, it's more of a range of possible outcomes than this is going to add a specific amount of value to a player. But we're of course taking on risk. Not all deals like this work out for the club. And sometimes you're ending up paying a player that's no longer in the game or injured many years after he's no longer on the team. So we're mindful of both possible outcomes. But this is the industry we're in. This is the business we're in, which is taking baseball risk. And you know, in most of the time it comes down to both the evaluation of the player and that player's makeup. Is this the type of player that we're comfortable betting on in the long term? And that's most often a makeup consideration.
Where do you think those early contract extensions are at throughout the game? You know, if you were to zoom out and look at the next like 5 years or so, you know, we saw it kind of start with the Evan Longoria contract and the Rays. Because of the way talent is skewing some to younger players in this game, because of how a couple of trends are working, do you think those early extensions are perhaps going away is getting them a kind of, I hate to use the buzzword, but I mean, I'm almost forced to contractually, a market inefficiency?
Well, I think John Hart and the guys, the Indians, would say it's been going back a long time.
Sure.
I think the fundamental trade of giving a young guy, whether he's 20 years old or 25 years old or anywhere in between, lifetime financial security, that will always be appealing. Of course, the economics change over time, and the amount of money we're talking about changes over time. But I think for some guys, that will always be appealing. And some guys may be in the position that they want to bet on themselves, and they want to bet on the maximum possible value they could get. And that's, you know, I think that dynamic will be true for a long time.
It seems, Jeremy, ostensibly that there are two players that kind of fit that category on the White Sox 25-man roster right now. There may indeed be more. I don't mean to single two guys out necessarily. I'm sure the organization likes a couple of guys that are up there now, young players, but Tim Anderson has the lifetime financial security. Carlos Rodon has the seemingly talent to get to that point. How would you evaluate their seasons so far?
Absolutely. I mean, Carlos obviously started later than anyone would have hoped, dealing with some shoulder stiffness early on and then taking the normal progression to get back. I think we've seen what he's capable of when he's on and when he's commanding his fastball. And he throws his plus slider. It's a tough combination for major league hitters. And Carlos will be the first to tell you that in order to get the most effectiveness, he's got to get deeper in games, and he's started doing that. And I think White Sox fans are only starting to see what he's capable of. Timmy is adapting to his first year in the big leagues, and every player who comes up faces that first adjustment period. He's got the type of talent and makeup that he's going to get there.
With both of those young men and forming a core of the future, I guess I have to ask you this. Hypothetically speaking, Jeremy, not necessarily for the White Sox, but theoretically, how many rookies can a team have in a starting rotation at one time?
Five. I don't think there's...
There's like a multiple choice? Just kind of click
six,
the...
Yeah.
Five.
If we're going to go to a six-man... We talk about, you know, when is a guy ready to come to the big leagues as an individual evaluation, the guy on the mound and how is he going to attack major league hitters. When a guy's ready to do that, he's going to come up, and the hitter isn't looking at, you know, is this guy a rookie or is this guy got 8 years? He's looking at the ball out of the hand and trying to compete.
As much as though as you have to do some, you know, risk evaluation, if you had theoretically multiple rookies, I mean, you'd be perhaps tapping a bullpen a couple of times if a guy has a, you know, fairly typically rookie start. I mean, if, and it's a good problem to have, if you have a bunch of talent come online at the same time, you theoretically create a couple of issues for the club. Are those just issues you're willing to have considering the talent that might be there?
Absolutely. We know that going into this process, on both sides of the ball, we're going to have a young team. That is something that Ricky has embraced from the day he got here. He says the development continues in the big leagues. And that is, you know, expecting that young guys aren't a finished product. They may be ready to compete at the big league level, but they're not going to be at their peak. And one of the benefits we have in this cycle is that these guys are going to learn to compete at the big league level together. And whatever challenges that presents, we will have to deal with at the time.
Jeremy, last one for you before we let you go. I've been asking this to a number of guys in the organization. I think I asked Nick Hostetler this and Rick this at different times, and I'm wondering how you might look at it too. For Sox fans, right, your advice to White Sox fans who are going to watch or not watch, maybe more importantly, more minor league baseball in the next year or so, what would be your advice on how fans should pay attention to minor league ball? Some people have the MLB package. Some people are just going to look at stat lines, which can be very misleading at a minor league level. How would you tell them to look at some of those young players?
Absolutely. I think it's an exciting time to be able to look into the White Sox minor league system. and see the type of talent that we have coming up. I think you want to take into account, you know, a progression. You know, what is the trend line for a guy? Even if the final product isn't there, I think you want to look at some of the underlying things, like his age relative to the level he's playing at.
Sure.
And how is he doing on things that we think translate to major league success in terms of commanding strike zone as a pitcher, or distinguishing balls and strikes as a hitter, and you know, impacting the ball power wise as a hitter. You know, these are the types of things that if you do consistently, or you demonstrate the ability to do it at a young age, that gives you the chance to progress. I think you're seeing that right now as Nicky Delmonico makes his big league debut. You know, this is a guy who came up through the system and has shown some of those things that we think he can translate to the big leagues.
Jeremy, really appreciate you coming on the show. Great talking with you, and we'll see you back at Guaranteed Rate Field in a couple of days.
Anytime, Connor. Thank you.
That is White Sox Assistant General Manager Jeremy Haber. Great conversation with him. Good guy to talk with about what's going on with the Sox, and glad he could hop on the show this afternoon. You can join us on Saturday, August 12th, as the Sox take on the Kansas City Royals at 6:10 p.m. The first 15,000 fans in attendance will receive a specially designed cap that brings the White Sox and iconic Chicago flag together. Visit WhiteSox.com to get your tickets today. Yeah, I keep saying we got to find out the next thing we're giving away here on White Sox Weekly. Now that the trade deadline is over, that was a busy month of July. We really got to get our act together. Maybe that's the hat, because I've seen it. It's pretty cool. Maybe that's the hat we snag and hand out for everybody. Of course, I probably have to get one too. I don't know. Lots to do. All right, so a couple of things to catch you up on as we approach this next break here, and then the 4:30 news. Let's see how we want to do this. All right, coming up, one thing that Jeremy said about watching minor league prospects that I found is a common theme throughout. Maybe you've heard it before, so it might be old news. Maybe you haven't. It could help you as you're watching some of these young prospects come up through the minor leagues for the White Sox. And we've got a little bit of development with what might be happening Friday at Guaranteed Rate Field, and what particular rookie may or may not be coming up. It's become a thing, so we'll follow the thing here for you. I'm Connor McKnight. You got White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
News, talk, evolved. WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. Just got done having a conversation with White Sox Assistant General Manager Jeremy Haber. Good conversation there. In case you missed it, you can head to the website, WLSAM.com. Go to the White Sox tab, the White Sox Weekly tab, in fact, and you can find every single episode of White Sox Weekly, including all of the interviews therewith contained. You can download them and listen to them at your convenience. We make it easy for you to keep up to date on your White Sox. That's how you do it. WLSAM.com, White Sox tab. Download everything you can possibly find. You want to keep you up to date on a couple of little pieces of news and notes going on here. In case you missed it at the start of the show, it's been kind of interesting to watch develop over the last hour and a half or so. This thing out in Boston, not the White Sox-Red Sox game tonight, although our pregame show starts in just about an hour, 5:35. There's the Sabre seminar out in Boston. White Sox play-by-play man Jason Benetti, we just talked to Jeremy Haber, Jason Benetti, is out there moderating the whole thing. White Sox general manager Rick Hahn was one of the invited guests. He spoke. Apparently, he took some questions. Apparently, one of those questions asked was, when is Ronaldo Lopez coming up? I'll look here on the show last couple of weeks. Hahn said, jokingly a little bit, but said that maybe you want to buy some tickets for Friday. It is now kind of, it sounds like the White Sox beat has spoken with Hahn and perhaps Ricky Renteria as well. In fact, looking at our producer down, we do have Ricky Renteria has spoken, and we've got that. Okay, so we'll bring that back for you on the show as these developments have clearly warranted hearing from Ricky Renteria this afternoon. Rick Hahn has said that the White Sox do intend on having Ronaldo Lopez start tomorrow for the Charlotte Knights, as was on the schedule. We knew that. Thank you. Hold your applause. We knew that. He was going to start for Charlotte the whole way through. In fact, it's kind of a fun schedule through the weekend for White Sox starters in the minor leagues. And we'll get to the minor league report in a bit, and we'll talk a lot about the prospects the White Sox acquired over the last month or so. But Ronaldo Lopez is on schedule to start on Sunday. That means Friday would be his next turn in the rotation. And Rick Hahn said that they will address the rotation, including Friday's starter, on Tuesday. The White Sox have an off day on Monday. So, you know, just wanted to keep you up to date. Here's what we'll do here. I'll tell you this. And then when we come back from the 4:30 news, we'll hear from Ricky Renteria and perhaps parse any details he may or may not have had. Then we will get into all the moves the White Sox have made since the month of July started. We'll even talk a little bit about Luis Robert, who was back into the Dominican Summer League. MLB.com at Bat is your number one mobile app for live White Sox baseball. Stay connected with a fully customizable experience. Get White Sox home screen icons and app features, as well as game day, live game video highlights, radio broadcasts, StatCast news, and more. Download MLB.com at Bat today. You know what's coming up. This is White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.